God is good, right? We have a great scripture to go through today, Psalm 100. We've been in the fruit of the Spirit for the last 8 or 9 weeks. Basically in the New Testament, looking at what the things that God will do in our lives. It's the fruit of His Spirit, amen?
Amen.
It's not just us, but it is what He's doing. And I thought before we hit the Christmas season, we'd get a little bit of a thankfulness and blessing the Lord. And Psalm 100 is a great psalm. Probably you've heard it in different ways, but we're going to kind of go through it and really see how it applies to us. So I'd ask you to open your heart to how many want to receive from the scriptures. You know, we talked about God wanting to give to us. He gives to us through his text. It's not just words on a page that we kind of recite to make him happy. Lord, hear the words. You like it? Uh-huh. Now, these are we encounter God, and God pours life into us, and this is one of the ways that he does it. So, Father, we thank you for your great power, Lord, that you are God and there is no other. You say that over and over again in your word. I thank you that this great and mighty God that you are, Lord, is mindful of us, that you care about us, that you think about us. Lord, you know the details. Lord, as Pete said, Lord, even in our flaws, Lord, your grace is amazing. And Lord, we don't sin so grace will abound, but we're thankful that grace abounds in wonderful ways. And Lord, I thank you, as Ira said, Lord, that the cross, Lord, covers us. It gives us a bite of that tree of life, Lord, not in some garden somewhere, but Lord, a connection to you that there is real life flowing through us by the fruit of who you are. You are that bread that was broken for us, our sins paid for. And Lord, I know for me, I need my sins paid for. I'm so thankful, Lord. You're good. Will you just thank the Lord for forgiving your sins? That is a great thing. You know how hard this is. I'm still praying, but you know how hard that is to receive forgiveness. It's hard to do it with your spouse, with your kids, with your neighbors, to forgive people. But the Lord forgives us with justice. He doesn't do it just emotionally, but he pays for us with justice by taking real consequences upon himself. And Lord, I thank you for that. And we receive your forgiveness and thank you for it, that your mercies are new this morning, that we're brand new, we're clean because of you. So Lord, as we look at this psalm, I pray that you'd make it have life, that we can apply it. It's so different, Lord, from the world. It's so radically different, Lord, that I pray that the scripture would just communicate that and embed it deep in our soul. Lord, that there's real freedom here. Help us to understand it. So make it come to life and bless those that couldn't come here today. Bless our kids as well and the churches around us, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, let me just read the scripture and let me give you a little bit of context. King David wrote this. We don't really live in a land where there's a whole lot of kings anymore. And usually we kind of think of that as a loss of control. But he's a king that's been appointed by God to do good to the people. And he is running away from Abimelech right now. He's not on the throne, King David. He is kind of scurrying through the mountains, trying to get away. And he sort of puts on a facade. He feigns delusion for Abimelech so that Abimelech will leave him alone. Because if Abimelech thinks he's just the king of Israel and he's the real deal and he threatens him, then he is going to just come down on him. But King David feigns a little bit crazy. He's been through a ton of heartache. He's worried about his men. Part of his men have been kind of hurt. And so he's trying to regroup and restore himself. And he's about to die. And he gets saved from this and from Abimelech by feigning this craziness. And he ends up in this cave. And there we get this Psalm 100. And what he's basically doing is he's really, I think, in a way, he's speaking to the people. He's speaking to his people because he is a king. And he's speaking to the people about how amazing God was delivering him with his crazy charade. And I don't know about you, but has God gotten you out of some crazy places? Come on. Have you ever just looked in the mirror and just said to yourself, how stupid can you be? Right? Has anyone ever said that? Because it's not like you're trying to sin, let me try to sin, I don't care. No, none of us want to just go out and sin for no good reason, Not that there is a good reason. But sometimes you get caught in something and you're thinking to yourself, Lord, what am I doing? Help me, heal me, deliver me. And my whole life, there's been seasons of those types of things where God has brought deliverance to me and wholeness. And this is David's cry. And it's unto God. And imagine the king of the land temporarily out of power. He's going to come back to power. But I see it in a way that he's imagining himself talking to his people because he's isolated right now. And he's writing it down. Man, I'm telling you, God did amazing things for me. He delivered me. Have you ever felt that way? When God's doing something? I mean, some of you guys will go on Facebook and you'll say, God's doing some really amazing stuff. Thanks, everybody, for the prayers. There's things that go on Facebook like that. And there's also grumbling, complaining, and gossip on Facebook. How many think we ought to get rid of that? What would life be like if you didn't slam everybody else? Wouldn't it be nice? How many say amen to that? Okay. Yeah, jerks. Slam everybody. Can't believe them. Losers. I'm posting this on Facebook. All the losers who slam everybody. Post. It's funny how quickly you could become a hypocrite, isn't it? One minute you're looking good, next minute you're a hypocrite. But listen to David. And here he goes. A psalm, which is a song for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. How many like this psalm? This is a very good psalm. And there's a lot to it, a lot of life-changing things. Let's start with number one. Number one, you can thank God. Say it with me. Can you say, in a song? In a song. And we're not a singing culture, are we? My whole family, especially me, but probably, well, I'm not the only one, but for the longest, we're all Lord of the Rings fans. I grew up reading the books, right?
My precious.
Gollum, I'm sorry. I apologize. No, I'm kidding. And you know what? What's amazing about the Lord of the Rings is when you read the book is full of singing. J.R.R. Tolkien was, in the trenches of World War I, watching the industry of steel and manufacturing, take over this war and seeing bloody bodies all the way through these trenches and seeing this horrific war with very homemade type of tanks and things like that. And just seeing that destruction and began to create this fantasy world and creating this ring of power, which kind of represents sin. And the book is full of singing, but then when you get to the movie, there's not that much singing, a little bit of singing. And I was reading an interview with Viggo Mortensen, who plays Aragorn, and he was a last-minute cast for the part. They had another guy casting, and I really love him in that part. It's just, he just fits it. And one of the things is, he said, when his interview, he said, you know what, there's so much singing in the book, and we don't have much singing. So in the extended version, they added a lot of different singing parts where when you read the actual book from Tolkien, not only the elves are singing, but the people are singing, the dwarves are singing, everybody's singing, all these characters. Well, when you read the Bible, can I tell you, there's a lot of singing going on. I meet people all the time, they go, I can't sing. And I go, yes, you can. And you will sing. And what are you going to be in heaven? Everyone's going to go, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're going to be in the corner. I don't sing. I was made in the image of God, but I don't have the singing gene. Turn to someone and go, you can sing. Then turn to them again and go, it might be out of key. It might be a different song. It's supposed to be the same song, but it's not the same song. Listen, it's a psalm. It's a song. It's a song like a hymn that declares it. David, when he's writing this song, you know, shout to the Lord, you know, all the earth. He's singing it. Now, he's got the harp and lyre, you know, which is, you know, it's kind of like a bow like this with strings going down, kind of like an early strum or harp. So he's got his song going on. But, you know, we had our songs going on today, didn't we? Songs to the Lord. And trust me, it seems like songs need to be quiet, but it does start out with shout. Amen? And it says, for giving thanks. To who? To who do we give thanks to? Can everyone say to God? And I always wonder, because I was raised an atheist, and I was an atheist most of my life until I came to Christ. It's about even now, as long as I've been a Christian and an atheist. And when I was an atheist, you know, who do you thank? You know, today's a good day. I thank you scientists for figuring out Einstein's theory. And that there's an ether out there, and the ether somehow coordinated with the right chemicals that I can breathe, and it went good with my neighbors because their chemistry and function and synapses were popping at the right times for this day to be good. Thank you, scientists. You didn't really make anything, but you discovered it. So thank you, air. Thank you, molecules. Thank you, atoms. Thank you, air. Man, how about thank you, God? I like it. Don't you? Thank you, God. Superpower. America's a superpower. God's the superpower. Amen. Amen? You watch. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms will fall. But God will remain our God, and we'll be safe with him. Amen? Amen? Listen, a psalm for giving thanks to God. Thank God in a song. Number two, thank God. Can everyone just say it real loud? Real loud. And I know this is so foreign because I watch people. I love football. You guys know this. And you watch the NFL or you watch the World Cup coming up or a big soccer game, a football game, a European football. And all of a sudden you just see people screaming. Ah! They're like this. In the King, if you have the King James Version or the New King James, it'll say, make a joyful noise. A joyful noise could also be translated shout. That's where it comes. You know, shout for joy. To the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth. All together. So whether it's your personality or style or not, that's the way it is. Shout to the Lord. We shout to God. There is a deliverance there. It's David going, man, I can't believe what God did. And I can't. Yeah. Yeah. Shout. And it builds up. The Psalms, I mean, Paul writes in his letters the same way. I want to tell you, brothers, how amazing God is, the all-knowing, all-wise God. Praise his name. You could just read it in the writing of Paul. It's this praise the Lord. You cannot believe how amazing God is. And then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. I love that word, simha. It's a Hebrew word that means delight. Serve him, serve the Lord with a delight, with a joy, with a pleasure. Do it with good. It doesn't say serve the pastor. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve your friends. It does say serve one another. But this whole high level mindedness is, but serve the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Everything you do it unto the Lord. You know, you serve your spouse unto the Lord. I bless you unto the Lord. And then we serve the Lord. We're going to talk about that more before. And I love this. Come before him with joyful songs. You know, it's like I think most people come with all their stuff that they did wrong. You know, and I'm sure David could have done that. Hey, Lord, it's me that I'm here. What's going on? Well, I messed up with Abimelech. Now he goes, Lord, thank you for delivering me. He's coming with a joyful song. Hey, Lord, I got a song. You ready? You ready, Lord? It's not the American Idol when it's all about you, right? Where the lights turn on and they go, we want to find a new superstar. You know, American Idol or X Factor or The Voice. You know, who's got the next great voice? You know, you are amazing. You're incredible. No, it's not about your voice. It's about the Lord. It's about the one you're singing to. When you're in love with somebody and you're going to sing them a song because you care about them or you write them a poem, you don't go, wasn't my poem amazing? I love thee. And you are incredible, the apple of my eye. How do you like my delivery? It's amazing, isn't it? The person's over there going, yeah, it was wonderful. I can see you're in love with yourself. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have been that person? How many have seen someone do that point to them? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have no shame. I'm terrible. I have the gift, the blessing of sarcasm. It'll be the first thing that goes when I go to heaven. I go, Lord, you go, swap it away. I'll have no more sarcasm. Hi, everyone. First thing the Lord will take away. I'm kidding. Listen, if take a moment, look at the people around you. Do they have that joyful gladness? Are they ready to bring a song? Do they have a scowl on their face? And can I tell you something that'll really change your life? How many want to hear something that'll change your life? Sometimes I'll meet people that say they're happy, that go, man, I'm really filled with the joy of the Lord. But you have to tell your face. Like, I don't think it's translating. How many know what I'm talking about? They go, hey, how you doing? Real good. That this is real good. That's not real good. Is it okay if we express the joy of the Lord? Out of the joy. And when you're going through a hard time, sometimes the joy can actually bring you out of a bad time. It's not just positive thinking. I'm going to explain it more as we go. It's not just a positive attitude getting you out. It's much deeper than that. Okay, thank God real loud. Philippians, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's in the New Testament here. To write this same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Can everyone say rejoice? Can you say in the Lord? In the Lord. We're going to talk about this. This is so profound. Say it again with me in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Okay, again. I'll say it again. Can everyone say rejoice? Here it has it. He keeps repeating the same theme in Philippians. Have the same mind as Christ. Whatever is lovely and admirable and noble, righteous. Think on these things. Right? Have the same servant attitude of Christ who considered his own life nothing. He who was divine humbled himself to be in the very nature of man. You know, the fullness of the deity dwelt in him, yet, you know, he was slain for our sins, yet he uttered not a word. You know, there's a bet he rejoiced. He endured and scorned the shame of the cross, for the joy set before him endured its shame. How many say amen? Amen. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Good scriptures, life. Number three, so we thank God out loud. Thank God in a song. And thank God we belong to him. This is such a great thing. I love how the Lord is writing, breathing these songs through David. Shout for the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord, all that. Come before him. And then he says, and know that the Lord is God. This Yeshua, Jehovah, is God. It is he who made us. Listen how he says this. And we are his. We are his people. I love that. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, I don't know about you, but most people don't want to be sheep, right? It's not bad to be a sheep. But sometimes, you know, you have to be, we want to be the shepherd, don't we? I want to lead the people. I want to be the leader of the company. I want to be the CEO. I want to tell them what to do and lead the masses. Give me the staff. I'll take them. And God says, but in a sense, while I call you kings and priests and leaders, and God does, he wants us to be leaders. And he wants us to, you know, help the people grow and to help ourselves grow. But he's saying, listen, the sheep of his pasture. We're his. Shout to the Lord. All this. And David comes to the recognition. But I'm God's. I am God's. That's why I can shout. How many are glad you belong to God? Listen, we belong to the Lord. We belong to him. We're his. We're his people. He made us. He knows exactly what he made you like. We lose sight of it so quickly. We go, oh, Lord, I'm a disappointment. You know, I wish I would do this. And the Lord's like, I made you. I know who you are. It's he who made us. This is David's revelation. He goes, we're the sheep of his pasture. Listen, we want to be shepherds, but the problem is we don't know where the quiet waters and the green pastures are. That's why the shepherd takes you there. Amen? Yeah, imagine the sheep, you know, it's kind of that they're all kind of huddled together and they're going through the valley, you know, down a little bit through the desert. There's some grass over there, but they don't know it. They're like, hey, how you doing, man? Not bad, right? And they're kind of taking them through, and it's like, where are we going? And it's like, you're going, I'm going through a hard time in my life. I'm not sure what my job is. I'm not sure about my career. I'm not sure about my relationships. And the shepherd is moving you forward. Amen? And he's taking you, and all of a sudden you get to a place, and you go, huh, someone's pushing on my back. Someone's pushing me down. Yeah, he makes me lie down. Amen? And then all of a sudden you go, this is good. This is good. This grass tastes like a cheeseburger. I can't believe it. It's coconut shrimp. Sorry, babe. Jody doesn't like coconut. She doesn't like talking about coconuts that bad. Listen, thank God we belong to him. How many say amen to that? We belong to him. We are his. Okay, he made us. We are his. We are his people. Zephaniah, we have this whole picture, and I want you to see this picture. I'm going to draw a closer picture in a moment. But I want you to know that we're coming to him with a joyful song. We're shouting his name because we're thankful for what he's doing. And then God is saying, I want you to shout. I want you to sing. I want you to come. And I want you to see this reciprocity here from God. He made us. We're like him. We are his people. The Lord your God, can everyone say, is with you. He is mighty to save. He isn't just saving things arbitrarily. You know, like, let's save this flower. Let's save this tree. He's saving the people. Amen? He will take great delight in you. So on one side, it says, he'll take delight in the Lord. Look, with gladness come to him. And here it's saying, he takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. In other words, he calms you. And how will he do that? He will rejoice over you. Can everyone say, with singing? Now, I've read this before, and I've shared this one scripture before, but I thought it was worth repeating. Isn't it amazing that God's singing? Aren't you glad we don't have some boring God in the, with some suit in the corner? You know, hey, God, how you doing? Pretty good. Can everyone sit down? I'm tired of seeing everyone stand up. I'd like some order. Now, we got a God over here that's singing and rejoicing and quieting with his love. Our God knows how to sing. You know, what's heaven going to be like? We're all going to stare at God at his throne. I am God. Get the angels out of here. Bring some clouds. Where's my stuff? Bring me a pig's head, you know, on a stick. That's the king. But instead, we have a God. We're going to go up there and go, what'd you do? I was watching God sing yesterday. He was singing and dancing. How many say amen? You think this is crazy? You think this is crazy? People come to church and they go, the Adventure Church is a crazy church. Why? Because people are singing and shouting at that place. That is just wrong. Yeah, because God is just always sitting down. That's what we always hear about. How many know that Jesus was singing? Right? It's clear right in the scripture. It says he's singing. He's singing hymns. The scriptures say sing songs over one another, to one another, hymns. Heaven, when you get there, the living creatures are singing. The angels are singing. Amen? There is some radical singing action going on. And I tell you, I can't prove it, but I think that there's a Marshall stack up there, which is electric guitar. It could be a Mesa Boogie, I don't know, but there's some kind of Marshall stack. I just picture the angels stacking the amplifiers. And we listen, but our ears don't bleed. I don't know how it works. But how many think that God can sing a song and hit us spiritually rather than just auditory? How many say amen to this? Listen, shout to the Lord. Serve him. Come to him with a joyful song. And he takes great delight in you on the reciprocal end. He'll quiet you. He'll rejoice over you with singing. How many say amen? Now, this next point is really the most profound point that I'm going to bring up. Number four, thank God at his place. I mentioned the first service. If you can get this, it will change your life. I promise you it will. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Let me talk about this. In the Old Testament, this courts, this gate, represented an actual physical temple that we know in the New Testament has become, we are the temple. Amen? He's no longer living in structures made by man. We can't go to Israel, open some door up there and go, hey, this is where the presence of God is, because I'm telling you, it's right here. Point to you. Point to yourself and say, and this is where he dwells. Now, we know that this presence of God in the Old Testament and in the temple where the presence dwelt, he wasn't there all the time. It was like, where's God? He's in that box over there in the temple. We know that God was also out there. He's omnipresent and can speak and do as he pleases. But his intimacy was represented in this temple in what they called the most holy place. Now, this most holy place. How many know that you're probably not holy enough to get into the most holy place? Think about the words. Okay, think about the words holy, okay? And now think most holy place. Do you think you belong in there? Come on, look at your life. Think about it a little bit longer. Okay, think, go back 2 months. Picture yourself crying about whatever you did. Okay, go back 6 more months. Most holy place. Now, what separated this, imagine this being the most holy place. There was a thing that separated called a veil. And this veil had all kinds of really incredible symbolism into it. I won't go to all of it. But it represented Christ, because when Christ on that cross was died and he was broken for our sins, just like we break the bread and take up the bread. You know, we all give everyone a little wafer when we do it. But the way it was done is we would have one piece of bread and everyone would take a portion of that bread. But we'd get to row 3 and someone would complain about the germs. So we don't do it that way. But we pass it out, the bread. And when Christ's body, when he died and the bread was broken, that bread is supposedly broken, the veil that was separating the people to this holy place was torn in half. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It was torn in half and on the floor. So in a sense, you are walking over the death and resurrection of Christ. He who knew no sin becomes sin for us. In fact, Hebrews 6 says, you trample the Son of God underfoot to deny this grace that you have. Now we have access to this throne. In the big part of the temple, can everyone say the courts? Okay, I'm sorry, the problem, yeah, enter his courts, yeah, his courts. And then, his gates, I'm sorry, I apologize, his gates. And the gates in the central part, before you got to that holy place, there was a Gentile court and a place for women and a place for warriors and a place for Gentiles and a place for priests and all these different places. And then you would be able to go in there and get into the very courts of the Lord. And then there'd be the holy place and then the most holy place where the presence of God is. We now have access to this. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Because of Christ, you are considered most holy because of what the Lord did. This is very good news, is it not? We are now most holy, so we cross this. So David is the one who is always prophesying about the Christ, about the Messiah. We look back in time and go, wow, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died. Well, David looks forward a couple thousand years, or 13, whatever the years is. He looks forward and he says, Christ is coming, right? He's the one who also says, Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sin is covered. You know, blessed he whose iniquities the Lord will never count against him. Enter his gates. When you enter into and you realize not only that Jesus died as you're walking past, but also that Jesus rose again, that we now have access. Can you just say, I'm thankful? We enter these gates thankful that we're all included. Amen? And we enter into this court with praise. Because we don't worship in our place anymore. We worship in his place. Amen? Amen? This is where the heavenly realms are. This is where the Spirit of the Lord is. This is where the presence of God is. When we read Revelation, it's happening. The presence of God is revealed. And they sing. And we are a part of it. That's why the Bible says you're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Amen? How many get this? Raise your hand. This is very profound, because you could come here to church, sit in a chair, and just sing songs like religious people do. Hallelujah, Lord, he's good. He's the one. He is the Savior. I don't know all the lyrics, but here we go. Honey, can you get some lattes and some coffee and some biscuits? Hallelujah, hallelujah. When does the Bronco game start? Hallelujah, Lord, fix Peyton's arm and his neck, hallelujah. Or you can get out of your own world and realize that you have entered into the domain of his place. And when you worship, You are worshiping. You are stepping in from sitting in your chair. It's not a location, but you are realizing that Christ has brought you into a holy place because of his work. That's what we mean by we're not saved by our works. Because I come, even though I'm flawed, I come a defect lamb because the perfect Lamb of God has paid my price. And now when I worship, I say, hallelujah. And I don't just get transported there, because how many know that we don't move? We stay right here. But guess what? The heavens are opened around us. And we sense his glory. We sense his presence. Lord, I can feel you. I can sense you. Because you are with me. How many say amen? Amen. This is entering. This is David going, listen. We enter his courts, his gates. With thanksgiving, we walk in there. Amen? Amen? Because he doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. Psalm 151. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Can everyone say in? In his sanctuary. We praise God where? In his sanctuary. Where? Praise him. Can everyone say in? In his mighty heavens. Amen? It's not when, it's now. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre and synth and guitar. Praise him with the kazoo. Well, maybe not. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Can everyone say dancing? Whoa, I can't dance up here to look good, but I'm telling you, we can dance here if we want to. Hallelujah. We can't be dancing in a church. You're wrong. We can. I had another you, but I needed to held back. We can dance here. Yes. That doesn't mean we should tap dance, but there should. It doesn't mean you need to dance all, you know, that kind of way. Don't dance so everybody looks at you. Look at me dancing. If you have to dance that crazy, go dance in the back, but dance. We can dance. Is that all right? Yes. How many say amen? Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that they're dancing all the time. David had this deliverance and he goes, and I want to dance. Right? These psalms are deliverance psalms. Listen, singing, tambourine, dancing, praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And by the way, if I missed it, praise the Lord. Amen. There is something powerful in there. I know our culture is not used to it. And I don't want you to walk through Smith with worship Tourette's. You know? Yeah, I'm looking for ketchup. You know, it's just like someone goes, they're not going to go, people aren't going to go, wow, he's really glorifying God. They're going to go, I think we need to get the straitjacket for this guy. Don't you think people will freak out if you're weird? Listen, you don't have to have worship Tourette's. You just need to allow the Lord to be in your life and worship him at home. Worship him in the streets. Worship him in the car. Amen? Amen. Listen, and enter the presence of God. You have access. Listen, let me tell you the biggest problem with religion. If you will not in your heart cross that threshold because you're on this side and you go, man, I blew it. I did something wrong. Listen, the Bible says you can just be honest with God. I blew this. You can confess your sins one to another. You confess to God. You can have repentance. But that's not what earns you to get in there. What earns you is that. That's why the cross is so important. Not because it's the symbol of Jesus' death. It's terrible. And why put a terrible death symbol on your church? And I agree. But it's not that. If he was just stuck on it and died, that's what it would be. But he rose from the dead. He paid for our sins. He did a million things on that thing. That thing is a symbol of freedom. Amen? How many say amen, amen? Okay, thank God, number five. Not only for worshiping in his place, but for his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Blessing is different than extolling or praising. There is an intimacy that goes with blessing. You're talking to somebody and you're saying, you know, hey, you're a really good guy. That might be an exclamation. But if you turn to a friend and you really go and go, hey, man, I really care about you. I care about you. You know, you're a really good guy. It's intimate. It's a blessing. It's like going to your kids and going, hey, I just want to tell you I love you. I really do. I love you. And it's different than saying, hey, I love all the kids. That's not blessing. Blessing is intimate. And it's not a ritual. Like, did you get your blessing? Do you want a blessing? No, it's from the heart. This is David saying, I'm in the cave. I saw what God did. Listen, give thanks to him. Bless his name. You know, there was a missionary to India several years ago, and he was part of this. He got really called to go visit this tribe and work with them for many years. And they were a tribe that had a blindness that would, so a progressive blindness. They were born with able to see, but then their blindness would little by little get them. And by the time they were older, almost the whole city was blind. Well, he discovered, not a miraculous way, but just a real pragmatic answer for them in the way things that they were drinking, what they were drinking. So he changed what they drank and he treated them. And they started getting their sight back. And he was sharing this story. One of the guys said, hey, go, that's awesome. He goes, I bet they're really thankful. Did they thank you? And he said, no. And he said, because in their language, strangely enough, they don't have the word thank you in their vocabulary. They just don't. And it says, and then he says, so what do they do? And he says, what they say instead is, I will tell of your name. That's their thankfulness. And he said, so everywhere they went, they said, so what happened? Oh, this happened. And they need to tell you of his name. That was their thank you. And it's like the name of Jesus isn't this little miracle cure. It's about him. He's a person, the person of Jesus Christ. It's like, thank you, Lord. Bless his name. Thank you. At the name of Jesus Christ, they were healed. They were delivered. I was healed. I was delivered. How many want to bless his name? Listen, bless his name. Bless his name. Tell of his name to somebody. This is the goodness. The angels, they know the name of God and his reputation. The name, your name is your reputation. Have you ever done something stupid to foil your name, make your name look bad? Come on, raise your hand. You did it. And you go, man, I wish I could take that back. You know, I go, man, it's like now my name has got this attached to it. You know, and I've done it and you've done it. But can I tell you, the Lord has a perfect reputation. Every living creature, every heavenly creature knows that God will keep his word. That's why God couldn't just forgive us and just let it slide. They're sinners, but I'm going to let it slide. No, there had to be justice for our sin. And boy, if we had to pay it, oh my gosh, but the Lord paid it instead. So justice was done. Bless his name. The name of the Lord, Proverbs 18:10, Solomon cries out, is a strong tower. The name is a strong tower. In those days, it's a place that protects the city. You know, a warring tribe, all of a sudden you're in a tower that's built of just solid concrete. They're not going to come with bows and arrows. They're not going to come with spears and just get through it. You have the high ground. Because you see it from the Lord's perspective. The righteous run to it. They don't walk. It's not like, hey, let's go walk over to the safety of the Lord. That's not the picture here. The righteous run to it. They go to it. Man, my life's in turmoil. I need to run to the Lord. I need to enter, take that step into his presence. And Lord, you are good. And Lord, I got a joyful song. Thank you for the deliverance you're going to bring me. Even though I can't see it right now. I don't understand it right now. But Lord, you're going to do it. Or maybe it's one that you've just experienced. They run to it and are safe. Aren't you glad that God is good? Gosh, I'm telling you. I just even think about these scriptures and I can think of all the goodness God has given in my life, the stuff I do not deserve. God has treated me way better. I thank God, you know. I really do. I'm glad to be a sheep of his pasture. I'm glad to belong to him. Aren't you? You know, thank God for who he is. Number six is the last one. For the Lord is good. Later on in that psalm, it's going to say, and I didn't quote it because I quoted it last week. It says, come and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like the Lord is like a good Slurpee in summer. isn't he? I don't know. There's something about, you know, when I was a kid, just, you know how you're just hot like crazy and you're riding your bike and you're a little kid and you're like sweating. And then, you know, for us in L.A., we'd see this 7-Eleven. And I'd just go, thank God. But I didn't believe in God at that time. But I'd go, thank you, Cola Slurpee. And then at that time, you know, they used to make it for you. Now you could just go in there and I want blueberry and Coke and everything. I have every channel. I have everything in the world. Except for inner joy, right? But I got Xbox One and PlayStation 12, and oh my gosh, I got graphics that are coming out at your ears, you know? Yeah. But you still don't know how to build relationships, and you don't know deep love. You don't know intimate love. And there's so much more that God has for you. God's like that Slurpee that just quenches you, and he invites you. Jesus has come. All you are tired, and come, I'll give you rest for your soul. It'll have peace. Enter into the joy that I have for you. You're worried about your kids? Listen, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. It's an enduring love. It's not a fleeting love. I love you, baby, but now I like him. Right? It's not like that. It's enduring. It lasts. It's not superficial. It's real. It's genuine. It's authentic. It's the source. His faithfulness continues through all generations. How many say amen? Listen, we can't get by without... Let's have the base camp team come forward. Can you stand with me? I'm going to read it. You don't have to read it with me. I'm going to read both those. But I want to encourage you to apply kind of what we're looking at now. Apply it. Do you want to bless the Lord? Are you willing to use your mouth and your smile? Yes. Can everyone give me a smile? I know you're not that happy. But that's okay. You don't know your destiny and God does. And it matches this smile. Trust me, it does. It's better than this smile. The best smile you got. Okay? Forget Dale Carnegie. This is a real smile. I love Dale. I will bless the Lord. Can we just raise hands up to God? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praise. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. We'll tell of the Lord's greatness. We'll exalt his name together. Lord, we turn to you and you answered us. You freed us from all our fears. Lord, we look to you for help and you'll make us radiant with joy. We won't have a shadow of shame that follows us because of your mercies. In desperation, we turned to the Lord and he heard us. He saved us from all our troubles. The angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made you, and you are his. You are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. He's real good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness, think about your family. Think about your tree of life, the generations that flows backwards and forwards. His love continues through all generations. Can we just praise the Lord? Let's shout to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessings to your name, Lord. You are the awesome God who reigns forever, Lord. King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. Woo! Okay. How many have really honestly had a hard time cutting loose here? Come on, raise your hand. Just a couple of you. Listen, I just encourage you, get over yourself. You're not that important, right? I know you think you're a legend in your own mind, and I'm a legend in my own mind. Can we just shout to the Lord like you're glad about God? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Lord! Blessings to your name! Praise God! You are the faithful one! Hallelujah! Listen, the Lord will deliver you from all your troubles. Amen? Whatever you're facing, I know it's big. I know it's huge. And it looks like it's kicking your behind. But let me tell you, God is bigger than those things. Amen? Amen. And this is not because our emotions are charged up. It's because the truth of the word of God verifies it and his spirit confirms it in our heart. And then the witness around us bears witness. Let everything come forth with two or three witnesses. Do I have a witness in the house? Yes. Amen. Close your eyes if you would. Father, I thank you for your mercies. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've not, this is the first time maybe you've put your faith in Christ. Or you needed to rekindle your faith in Christ. If that's you, just look up at me. Raise your hand. The Bible says to agree with someone. I want to agree with you. Raise your hand up. Amen. 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 Anyone back here? I missed you. Back there. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen up here too. Amen. Amen. I see you. Amen. Anyone else just want to bear witness before the Lord? Father, thank you. Thank you for these. And Lord, we put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. Thank you that you're good. And we have base camp leaders. This is to you guys, not to the Lord. We have base camp leaders, which is basically like let's get on the same page and learn how to walk with God. And if that's you and you go, man, I need to grow and I need to take that next step. If that's you, we just make eye contact, raise your hand, look at the base camp leaders. They're in the aisles and just say, I want to grow. I want to take some steps forward. No one's going to religiousize you or anything like that. Servants are going to come along and help you and be available for you. It's what, you know, we get personal trainers in every area of life. Why not with your walk with God? If you talk to them afterwards, they'll give you more information. You can also go to the end of our church, the second to last built door on the right. It'll say base camp there. Just come on in, introduce yourself and just say, hey, I wanted to grow. Pastor talked about it. How can I go? And I promise you, you will be totally blessed. For those of you who've taken already, we have a great reunion, base camp reunion from all our classes in January. We look forward to having a great time and party. Father, I thank you for these. Bless them, Lord. Lord, let worship become a part of our life. And bless our kids, too, that they could learn the worship and power of worship. Forgive us, too. Lord, we've all fallen short. Not a person in here that hasn't fallen short in some way. But I thank you that mercies are sufficient for us. Your grace is sufficient for us. And we thank you. We look forward to the Christmas season, Lord, because we celebrate your incarnation, where the word became flesh. You entered into Einstein's equation. We're thankful for that. And I pray that you bless us and draw us near to you. Bless the ones. You just grab someone next to you. Just bless them. Lord, bless them. Bless the person next to me. Fill them, Lord, with the needs that they have. Only they know. But Lord, will you answer those needs so they don't leave here empty? Touch them with your heart. In Jesus' name. How many say amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget Doug's memorial service. We're going to celebrate Doug Pillow. Love to have here a mighty man of God. We get to celebrate him. God bless you.